Morning. Open meeting here today. Open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to open thy word and come before you, Father. And we thank you for another day of opportunity for salvation, to come to thy Son for salvation, Father. So we ask you to guide us all by thy Holy Spirit and to bless the reading of thy word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as some of you know, I go out with the gospel message every week, trying to reach people wherever I can with the gospel message, and I'm just going to share a couple thoughts with you here. I don't plan on taking much time, but I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I've been hearing more and more lately that couple of comments I've been hearing more and more often. Something like, why don't you people just leave already? Aren't you supposed to be going with the Lord by now? Or something like that. Aren't you supposed to be flying away with the Lord by now? Or going away? Something to that aspect. I've been hearing that a little bit more and more in a sarcastic way. I've been hearing that a little bit more and more. You know, I haven't been hearing this over the past years, but this year I've been hearing it a little bit more and more. And I've just been hearing a lot of just uneducated thoughts about the scriptures more and more. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts. So I'm going to begin with 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, actually. I'm going to just read verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We have a lot of great things coming from God that has prepared them for us who are saved. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We can know these good things that God has revealed. He teaches them to us by his Spirit. The Spirit that's within us. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So God teaches us the things of God by his Spirit. We understand this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can they know him, because they are spiritually discerned. But that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The natural man cannot understand the things of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. So with this little understanding in mind, I just would like us all to be encouraged to share the gospel message with people, because this a lot of people do not understand the gospel message. They don't understand the things of God. Going to 2 Corinthians, well-known verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. A lot of people do not understand the gospel message or things of God, the word of God. They don't understand it because they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. So I would just like to just start off by encouraging all of us here to share the gospel message with some people, with people that are in our lives. God has put people in our lives to share the gospel message with, and usually there's some kind of a barrier that's preventing that person from coming to Christ. And as I see the window of opportunity closing, I just want to stress it upon everybody to help people come to Christ during this time, because time is running out. I know it's an uncomfortable process sometimes, but I would rather feel uncomfortable now and discuss it with these people and get it, and try to get it resolved right now, because it's very uncomfortable to know that that person might have died in their sins and think of where they're at. I'm still grieving over a couple of friends that have died, and I think they died in their sins, and I'm still grieving over the process, grieving over that. That what just happened. Now, I want to go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Guy tells me just the other day, I know you're going to all fly away with Jesus. I know you're all going to fly away with Jesus. Why don't you go fly away with Jesus already? Yeah, he's kind of true in a way. We're going to be caught up with Jesus in the air. It doesn't mention flying away, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Picking it up at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, all the people that are saved, if you have trusted that Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and rose again, he's talking to you who are saved. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died believing, those who have died that were saved in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's three things everybody who is saved is going to hear when the Lord comes again. The Lord is going to shout from heaven. We're going to hear the Lord shout from heaven. And with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, three things we're all going to hear. If you're not saved, you're not going to hear any of this. So if you have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. When he comes again, you will hear his shout from heaven calling you. And you will hear the voice of the archangel. And you will hear the trump of God as you are taken off this earth to be caught up with him in heaven. Everybody else who is not saved will be left behind to be facing the tribulation period on this earth, waiting to die and go to hell. All because they refused to trust Christ and come to Christ during this day of grace. Now, Thessalonians, if you make it through parts of the tribulation period, there's a scary words that I've come across in 2 Thessalonians I want to read. Future prophecies take place and coming along, but some scary words that I just want to read out before I come down. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up at verse 9. Because I want to emphasize the fact that God is not always going to be waiting for you to come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins and trust him. He's not always going to be waiting for you, even after he takes all his people off this earth. It's just a serious situation. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those are some scary words to me. I pray that I never would fall into that category, but I want to just stress on everybody here, this day of grace, this is the perfect opportunity to come to Christ to get saved and to help spread the gospel message and reach people. So I just wanted to just try to help encourage people to spread the gospel message. If you know somebody who is not saved, try to reach them now. Just try to break down that barrier. I know there's got to be conviction of sin before somebody gets saved. If you can try to just get it out in the open and just maybe talk about it and shed God's word upon the situation, it may help the situation. But just wanted to stress this out. This is the day of grace, and opportunity is running out. Come to Christ today to be saved. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for our sins on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, having victory over sin and death. And now this free gift of salvation can be given to anybody who will trust Christ to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. May you trust Christ to be saved today. God bless you.
I've been thinking a lot recently about the book of Daniel, and in Daniel, there's a story that we all know. It's in Daniel chapter 2 about Nebuchadnezzar's statue. He dreams and sees a statue, and the different parts of the statue represent the different kingdoms of the world. And at the end of his dream, a stone comes that was cut without human hands. And it comes and it destroys this image, grinds it to powder, and grows and fills the whole world. That this stone came out of nowhere. It represents the kingdom of God, but it's not something that came through the systems of the world or the things that looked impressive in the world. You could see at that time period, especially the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire and all these great kingdoms rising up. The kingdom of God isn't like that. Jesus describes it the same way too. He talks about how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's not something that looks significant or impressive, but when it's planted, it grows into a tree that is bigger than you would expect just looking at this small seed. And this theme is throughout the whole Bible. We were just hearing about it, how God takes the things that look foolish to the world, and he uses those things to show his great wisdom. We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis at the beginning, where God keeps choosing these people, these families, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, not because they were so impressive in and of themselves. A lot of them weren't even the oldest child. They didn't even have the right to inheritance. But God chose them. God chose the nation of Israel, not because it was a powerful or great nation, the Bible says, that he chose them because they were the least of all nations. And God loves to take these small and insignificant things, things that might seem like foolishness to the world, but out of them, Christ is building his kingdom. We read in the book of Revelation that God is making us kings and a kingdom of priests to our God. You know, we might not look like a very impressive group here. And I don't know about you, but I know that I don't have anything in and of myself to offer God. But God is working in us here in this group. He's working throughout the whole world, behind the scenes, building his kingdom. It's not a kingdom like the kingdoms of the world. It doesn't look impressive. It's in some ways like Jesus himself. That Isaiah says he didn't have any form or beauty that looked impressive. But despite that, we today are here celebrating his the beauty of his character, the beauty of who he was, and who he has made us. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us, that you've taken this small, insignificant person, and that you've had mercy on me, and that you've had mercy on all of us. And you guide us and protect us, though, through all the things that go on in the world around us. We can trust that you're protecting us and you're guiding us. We are part of your kingdom. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's just tremendous thoughts. Thank you, Josh and Matt. And both of you were thinking a little bit about this concept here. I wonder if we could turn to that verse that Matt brought us to. It's in Isaiah chapter 64. No eye has seen, no ear has heard,
the Josh's thought about the Lord taking what is insignificant and making it into the extraordinary. It struck me as we were listening to some of these words this morning that there is something that our minds can't quite comprehend, and God wants us to see that. Notice that it is in Isaiah chapter 64 where this idea of we can't comprehend it is brought out. Isaiah 64 verse 4, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to perceive. If you think about what the Lord has tried to do to explain to you the blessings that are going to be ours, he's given you pictures that you can understand down here, but the scripture is already telling us that we still don't have the half, the understanding of what that is. Notice how the Greek writer Paul interprets this verse, and this was the verse that Matt read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Same verse, but he's going to say it slightly differently, the richness of the text. He's going to say here, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That is the translation of that verse. It's different little differences between the Greek and the Hebrew. But the concept here, and this is the thing that he wants us to understand. Whatever you perceive of what you think God has done for you, you don't understand it. You're not even close. Whatever you think you grabbed onto in your little concept of mind that is going to help you see what God is, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And we need to enjoy all of those references, and we need to take them in and live in the light of it. But we also need to understand that even with all of that revelation in the scripture, it is still not even close to the blessing that God has for his people. Back in Isaiah in chapter 65, he's going to talk, as he's talking a little bit about this God that no one can, no ear perceives and no eye has seen, and how this God acts for us. He comes to chapter 65, verse 17, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that three little word new, wow. You don't know what that's about. There's a new song coming that you've never sung before, and it's going to be yours. There is a newness to what God is about to do, and the writer to Isaiah, and Paul picks it up in some of these passages that we've been reminded of, is trying to get us to understand that the half has not been told us, and that we can't quite comprehend it. And notice what he says in this verse 17 of Isaiah 65, the former things will not be remembered nor come to mind. And we don't understand how something so glorious and so majestic should somehow be introduced into our mind so that the former things are no longer a thought. And yet that is exactly what God is suggesting here, that his blessing and his prosperity for us is beyond our ability to conceive. He will talk about this in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp. We can be rooted in his love. We can be established in his love. Christ can dwell in our hearts by faith. We can have strength in the inner man. But there is a grasping now, and that grasping is reaching out to something that has no limits. But the saint, rooted in the love of God, convinced of God's blessing in his or her life, is to grasp with all the saints. Try to get his or her arms around how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love which surpasseth knowledge. You're never going to get it. It surpasses the knowledge that you can possibly try to contain in your mind, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, whatever that means. I think it means that we figured out we can't measure it, and its fullness is beyond us, and we love it. That's the God that we have. That's the God that he says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no eye has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait. And how does he act? I create a new heaven and a new earth. And what I'm going to do, the former will not even be remembered. It'll be so shocking to you. Now unto him who is able, turning to Christ, to do immeasurably more that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think it's in the book of Ephesians where we read about the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's going to be in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, that though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That we, through his poverty, might be rich in his unsearchable riches. We truly have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. There's 5 minutes left. Maybe someone has one last thing to share.
Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Our brother, when he was leading the singing, made mention of that song, "I Was Sinking Deep in Sin." And I couldn't help but think of that overwhelming feeling that I had many years ago when that wave crushed me, and the terror that I felt because I didn't know which way was up or which way was down. And I was running out of oxygen, and I was swimming as hard as I could. And that terror that overwhelmed me was nothing in comparison to what the Lord Jesus had to go through on the cross for our sin. Because it was not one wave, it was many waves. That psalmist that wrote, "Deep calleth unto deep." So the deeper parts are calling to the deepest parts, come up. And that overwhelming flood that came upon the Lord Jesus Christ was for you and for me. And this verse, I love this verse because I think that all of us as born-again believers should have the gospel imprinted on our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, on our lips, and our feet being shod with it. So everywhere we go, we are mindful of the gospel. It should be conversation in our home all the time. Whether your children are saved or not, we should be constantly about our Father's business. Romans chapter 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And if you're here today and you're not born again, as our brother implored us, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off one more day. And for us that believe, it's a reminder of the day that we were saved and born again and brought into God's family. And we now enjoy this newness of life that can only be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with His peace, to have His joy. We have Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessed day. We thank Thee for Thy beloved Son, our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, Father, for reaching out with Thy strong arm of salvation to grab us from that pit of despair, to translate us, to transform us into new creations, a new creature being formed through that work of Calvary's cross. And Father, we can't thank Thee enough for Thy beloved Son. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would lead us on this day as we would continue, Father, to remember Thy Son, and that we would bring blessing and honor and glory to Thee and to Thee alone. And so we thank Thee for this day and pray that Thou would part us with Thy blessing. In Thy Son's name we pray. Amen.